another bailout.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Reports are this morning that the Treasury Department is about to dole out billions of more dollars to GMAC, what at one time was a huge financing arm of General Motors. It's a deal that could happen as early as today. From North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
GMAC already received $5 billion from the Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP, back in December. Now, the Detroit News and other papers are reporting that the government is set to loan GMAC more than $7 billion additional dollars. With the latest infusion, the federal government's stake in GMAC will get even bigger. A U.S.-controlled GMAC would have the power to offer better loan terms to GM and Chrysler car buyers. This could be a way of steering business to the troubled companies. Analysts say that could give them an edge over their competitors, like Ford, that hasn't taken any bailout money. Last week, GMAC changed the name of its banking unit to Ally Bank to distance itself from the bailout. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Bank of America may be one of the most troubled banks in the nation, but apparently it wants to settle up. The Financial Times reports B of A wants to repay $45 billion in bailout funds by the end of the year. That's the amount the bank received from the Troubled Asset Relief Program, TARP. Earlier this week, the bank raised more than $13.5 billion with a share sale. Yesterday, not much love on Wall Street. The Dow lost about 52 points to close at 84.22, about two-thirds of a percent. NASDAQ and S&P shares down about half a percent. Asian markets closed lower. The Nikkei just under a percent, and the Hang Seng by a percent and a half. And European shares are lower right now, 1 to 2%. Whatever comes out of this financial crisis, it's likely to include a serious overhaul of the way Wall Street operates. Lawmakers are looking at curbing everything from derivatives to executive pay. And in the coming weeks, the White House is expected to roll out a number of proposals for new regulations. As Marketplace's Amy Scott reports, it's got some in the industry a bit on edge.
At a conference on market structure this week, men and women of Wall Street pondered the coming wave of regulation. There's talk of a new risk watchdog to police the whole financial system and a new product safety commission to oversee mortgages and mutual funds. Howard Engelhart is with Pipeline Trading.
The fear here is that rather than taking these opportunities to streamline and really improve the regulatory framework, we're just going to have new layers that we'll have to contend with.
All the uncertainty makes Kevin Copeland's job challenging these days. He's a lawyer who advises broker-dealers.
I counsel clients to not get in trouble, and if they're going to push the envelope, let them know how elastic it really is. But if I don't know and they don't know, then they're paralyzed.
Despite their apprehension, some in the industry say regulation is key to restoring faith in the system. As one New York Stock Exchange official put it, sometimes that means taking medicine we don't like. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Before you open that container of yogurt this morning, let's pay tribute to Daniel Carrasso, one of its pioneers. Carrasso was born in Thessaloniki, Greece. He studied the work of the microbiologist who claimed lactic acid bacilli in the digestive system is healthy. The Danone yogurt brand, as a matter of fact, which he's an honorary chair, owes a lot to Carrasso. His father named the company after him. His childhood nickname was Danny. And over 90 years, he took yogurt from out of the ordinary ethnic food to cultured staple.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, offering breaking news, exclusive stories, and insights that impact today's financial markets. More at newsfirst.reuters.com. American Public Media and Marketplace present Hard Times in Middletown, supported by the University of Virginia's Batten Institute. More at AmericanRadioWorks.org.
The House Energy and Commerce Committee is poised to approve the first ever climate bill to make it to the floor of Congress. Of course, that achievement hasn't come without its share of heated political debate. But some of the fiercest battles aren't between politicians. They're between businesses and the trade groups that lobby for them. From the Sustainability Desk, here's Marketplace's Sam Eaton.
A TV ad running this week features Duke Energy CEO Jim Rogers endorsing a mandatory limit on greenhouse gases.
Why would the head of one of America's largest coal-burning utilities support a cap on carbon emissions? because America has to start making smart choices.
Rogers' message is the opposite of what the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is saying. The world's largest business group claims capping emissions would cause energy shortages and higher prices. What's noteworthy here is that Rogers holds a seat on the Chamber of Commerce's board, as do many other prominent supporters of climate change legislation. That's led Peter Altman with the Natural Resources Defense Council to pose this question.
Who is the chamber really representing here?
Altman researched the Chamber of Commerce board members' positions on climate change legislation. And out of the group of businesses that have publicly stated their positions, 19 favored federal action and only 4 opposed it. And 3 of those 4 are coal mining companies.
The staff seem to be freelancing on the agenda of just a few of their members and not adequately representing where the majority of the members of their board that have got a position on climate change really find themselves.
In recent weeks, companies like Nike and Johnson & Johnson have publicly criticized the chamber for not reflecting their views. But the chamber's head of government affairs, Bruce Jostin, says member disagreements are nothing new.
Do I have a diversity of viewpoints in the membership of the United States Chamber of Commerce? Yes. Let me be perfectly clear. On every issue that comes before the Congress of the United States.
But the issue of climate change is different. James Thurber heads American University's Center for Congressional and Presidential Studies.
This is major in terms of its impact upon the economy and upon the way you extract and use energy. And so, therefore, it is major in terms of the stress upon certain interests.
Thurber says forming business coalitions is the easy part. The challenge is maintaining them, especially when limits on greenhouse gas emissions threaten to hurt some industries and some regions a lot more than others. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Hey, hope you can check us out online at our website. We've got the online host and blogger, Scott Jagow, waiting for your comments in the scratchpad, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.